Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. On this Monday, God bless you. Happy Monday to you. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of your Monday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to hear another sermon out of this Sermon on the Mount we've been looking at these last couple days here. We've been alternating between whatever I'm preaching here every week, which has been the book of Colossians, and whatever other random sermons. And this random sermon is the third part in this little series here. We're looking at all three chapters of the Sermon on the Mount. I think I went out of order. This one I see the title is The Second Mile. That's where we're going to be. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. Here Wednesday and Thursday will be my final sermon in the book of Colossians. So part two of this will be tomorrow. islandcommunitychurch.net is our website to learn more about us. Well, no, I won't say you know all about us from listening to this, because you need to read a church's statement of faith to know all about them. Know and read what they believe about Jesus, because that's the place that people always twist and always, what would be the word for it, introduce false teaching. And that is always, it's the person of Jesus. So our statement of faith is uploaded at islandcommunitychurch.net. Read it on there. Read what we believe if you're thinking about visiting here. And we would love to see it. You are invited to one of our services. I will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Sunday morning, Pastor Darren Solana, my associate pastor, he will be bringing the word. His sermon is entitled, Bring Him to Me. He is in the Gospel of Mark. That'll be Sunday morning at 10:30. Okay, here we go. This is part one of this message now. The doctrine of the second mile.
Now, if you like this sermon today, don't thank me, because there's too much on it. If you get anything out of it, if you don't like it, it's my fault. If you do like it, it's his. I love the title of this, The Gospel of the Second Mile. Carol, did you get the one in Russian for her? You know when you're growing, when you got to have handouts in Russian now. Thank you, Lord. What a fantastic study we're having in the Gospel of Matthew, aren't we? After 12 years of pastoral ministry, this is the first time I've taught Matthew from the pulpit on a Sunday morning, at least. And it's been a blessing for me. I think each and every one of these weeks has gone real good. Likewise, this past year was the first time I've taught the entire book of Revelation from the pulpit on a Sunday morning. And we were blessed each and every week, too. Now, last week here in the Gospel of Matthew, we started what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, a long sermon spanning three chapters where Jesus blows everyone away with his knowledge, both of the Father and of the Word. And he continues to blow them away today with seemingly impossibilities, things which no man can do on his own. Things like verse 19 of chapter 5. Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so will be called least. Think about that. The least of these commandments. That means find the most petty thing you can find in here. The most seemingly pettiest thing. and break that and then share it with your friends, and you're considered least. He said it. That's a seemingly impossible thing. That's why James says, let not many of us become teachers, knowing we will receive a stricter judgment. Or verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kind of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Remember, that's rejoice and be powerball glad. This was new to their ears. And now Jesus is going to continue to preach the kingdom of God to anyone and everyone that has ears to hear. We're in chapter 5 still. Verse 20 we read, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So write this down and take it to the bank. Unless you are better than these religious people here who are perfect on the outside but corrupt on the inside, unless you are better than these Pharisees, you shall in no case, on a case-by-case basis, you will in no case enter into the kingdom. Unless if you're better than these perfect people over here that probably keep 512 out of the 513 God-made and man-made laws, unless you're better than all of them, there's no case are you going to enter in. That's kind of hard to hear. What do you think? Church, you're in trouble. That Jesus' half-brother adds more fuel to that fire, James, when he says, he who keeps the whole law yet stumbles at one point has become guilty of all. James 2:10. Whoever keeps this whole book and just one thing, maybe like what Jesus said, one of the least of these commandments, like having wheat and rye in the same field, makes you least. And has become guilty of all. Now, that's an Old Testament law. You're not trying to keep the Old Testament, right? Wheat and rye in the same field condemns you. Any women with blue jeans on today? Understand, there is no good news without bad news. The bad news is the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. The good news is the rest of that verse. Starts with the word but. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, the thing is, you've got to do something with your sins. As the Lord Jesus is showing us in the Sermon on the Mount, you are a sinner. And you've stumbled at much more than just one point. The wages of sin, that is, sin pays off in death. And again, our lovely brother James, sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death, James 1:15. So understand this morning, there is no good news or gospel without bad news. Would you like some more bad news this morning? I made the unfortunate mistake of listening to R.C. Sproul on my way in this morning. And he knocked me out of my chair when he said, let me ask you, what's the greatest commandment of all? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. How are you doing on that? Who here loves God with all their heart? Who loves God with all their mind, all their soul, all their strength? So that's the first and greatest commandment. So if you don't keep that, that is the greatest transgression. the greatest commandment, the opposite then, is the greatest transgression. If you don't love God with every fiber of your being, all of your mind, all of your heart, all of your soul, you've committed the greatest transgression of all. And that's why Jesus can say, no one is good, no, not one. That's why the atheist's good work or the Hindu or an unbeliever or someone else doesn't change their heart condition. Good works can't save you. The opposite of the greatest commandment is the greatest transgression. And the greatest of all transgressions, the greatest of all transgressors is those that don't love God with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, all their strength. So far, the Sermon on the Mount's not saving anybody. Though he's going to get to that when Jesus confronts the Pharisees with that later. But that was what I get to hear on my way in this morning. Now, we can have Jesus pile it on a little more. We'll get to the end of chapter 5 and hear Jesus say, be therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, as we continue in chapter 5, Jesus will hit on hot topics like anger, the sinful heart, divorce, oaths, retaliation, and how to treat your enemies. So let's pick it up here, Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 21. And let me say, if you're trying to keep the law to get right with God, you're a fool. Sorry, but that's what you are. All those things we just read, they don't save you. Those things convict you. And they convict you as guilty, every one of those things. You're guilty of the greatest transgression of all. If you're going to go by the law to be justified with God and try to keep the law to be justified with God, because you can't do that. Romans, Paul said, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no hammer hanging over you. When you believe and receive in Jesus Christ, that gavel is gone forever. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. The gavel is gone in Jesus' name. There is no gavel. He took all that out on his son on the cross. Right? Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you were healed. He took the gavel. He was abandoned and forsaken and died naked on the cross for you. And that's the good news. Matthew 5:21. It says, you have heard that it was said to those of old. All right, first of all, he puts it like this, because all of these things were handed down orally by tradition. That's why he said, you have heard that it was said. And he goes on, you have heard that it was said, you shall not murder, not kill. The King James there should read murder, not kill. You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry, oops, looks what he just did. He substituted the word angry for murder. Catch that? Verse 22, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother, some translations say without a cause. Mine does. I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause will be in danger of the judgment. Uh-oh. You thought that murder was bad. that your mom and dad taught you around the campfire and that how murder would condemn you. But Jesus says, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will face the same fate. See, he's now increased the guilty from 0.5% to like 99.5%. My Believer's Bible Commentary makes this observation. It says, with the words, but I say to you, Jesus institutes an amendment to the teaching on murder. No longer could a person take pride in having never committed murder. Jesus now says, in my kingdom, you must not even have murderous thoughts. He traces the act of murder to its source and warns against three forms of unrighteous anger. That's what we're going to see right here in these few verses here. He goes on, whoever says to his brother, Raca, Raca, will be in danger of the council. Raca, Raca, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. It means numbskull or empty head. Something you heard a lot of if you watched Mo Howard growing up, right? Numbskull. But he says, whoever says you fool will be in danger of hellfire. Now, not only have I said that, that's one of my favorite sayings. But me using it has a totally different meaning than someone in his day using it. Right, Lord? I hope. See, in Jesus' day, people used the word Raca, Raca, an Aramaic term meaning empty one, as a word of contempt and abuse. Those who use this epithet, those who use this epithet, were in danger of the council. That is, they were subject to trial before the Sanhedrin, the highest court in the land. Finally, to call someone a fool is the third form of unrighteous anger Jesus condemns. Here, the word fool does not mean, or it means more than just a dunce. It signifies a moral fool who ought to be dead. And it expresses the wish that he were dead. That's who he's addressing here. The word fool meant different than a joker on a deck of playing cards or a jester at a king's court. Words meant different things. But Jesus said the one who utters such a curse is in danger of hellfire. Verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember. Now, your gift to the altar, in modern day terms, is putting in something when Ron passes the offering plate around. That's what he's talking about. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the offering plate here, and when it comes around that you remember that your brother's got something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Speaks for itself, doesn't it? Don't even waste your time offering a gift to God that won't be accepted by God until you make things right with the person that you're holding a grudge against. Let me encourage you to do that. When you sow gifts here to this ministry, you're giving to God, not to the church. And God says, don't waste your time. I'm not going to accept that. You can read that in countless Old Testament books. Malachi, don't bring in your animals here. Even your governor won't take them. Don't give them to me. Isaiah, the same thing. Don't bring in tainted sacrifices here. Now here he's saying, don't even make an offering here, but go and make things right. After all that Jesus has done for you, dying on the cross, should you hold on to a grudge? No. Make things right first with your brother. Then come and make your offering. Then come and sow your gift. More on that when we get to the middle of chapter 6. Verse 27, in the topic of adultery, with the same outlook on it as all the other things we've just looked at. Verse 27. It says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, uh-oh, here it comes. He's going to floor them again with something that no one can keep. Uh-oh, here, okay. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Man, oh man. You know, I wonder how many people came back to the first church of the Nazarene the following Sunday. He probably cleaned house there. That's what John Hagee used to say, too. He said, if I ever had a real prophet that showed up here at my church, he would clean this house out in 15 minutes. And this church would be gone. There'd be no one left here the next week. If he ever had a real prophet come in. Because a real prophet would put your sins up here on the overhead. He leaves it there. Verse 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it from you. Not the Sunday sermon they were imagining, probably, right? If your right eye causes you to sin, get rid of it. Pluck it out. Cast it from you. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than from your whole body to be cast into hell. They probably cringe the same way people cringe today when they hear the word hell. But Jesus taught and spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Verse 30, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Get rid of it. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Maintaining an undefiled thought life demands strict self-discipline. Amen to that. Thus, Jesus taught that if any part of our body causes us to sin, it would be better to lose that part of your body during life rather than losing one's soul for all eternity. Are we to take Jesus' words literally? Was he actually advocating self-mutilation? The words are literal to this extent. If it were necessary to lose a part of your body rather than losing your soul, then we should gladly part with that member and part of our body. Fortunately, we don't have to do that, since the Holy Spirit empowers us to live a holy life. However, there must be cooperation and rigid discipline on your part. It's a two-way street. You still have to fight sin in your life to overcome this. Remember what God said to Cain? He said, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. This is an ongoing fight for you and I to beat the tar out of sin. She laughs. That's it. See this? This is my... I'm going to beat the tar out of sin. It's an ongoing battle until we die. You can't just be saved once and then... It's an ongoing fight. Am I right? There's so many seasoned Christians here. Isn't it an ongoing fight? We don't want to sugarcoat this, because Jesus isn't, and I'm not going to either. But to take that literal, I guess if you had the mentality, oh, never mind, I'll move on. I wouldn't say once saved, always saved, and then you don't ever have to worry about it. I wouldn't say that. Maintaining your Christian walk and To have a sharp cutting edge to you requires discipline. And you have to cross the finish line. You have to have the mindset that Jesus said in John 12:25, he who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life will keep it unto life eternal. That's got to be your mindset. Lost on us today. Okay, on to divorce, verse 31. Remember, this is going to be an impossible teaching, just like the others. Impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, what'll it be this time? What an impossible task is he going to lay on me now? I can't do these things. Are you able to do them all? How are you batting, Ty Cobb? You're in the dugout now behind me. I'm batting zero without the Holy Spirit to help me. Zero. I'm batting zero. This stuff is good for us. It helps us see we need a Savior and we still need help. And you're not there yet. You haven't crossed the finish line yet. You still need work. And I need it. We got to stay in the Word of God. Stay at the feet of God. Say no to sin. We still need work. I'm batting zero. I don't know about you. Y'all can get behind me. Maybe there's a couple of 125s in here. Some 375s. Maybe you've got one hit so far out of this lineup. We've got one that loves God with all their heart out of 30. Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason other than sexual immorality, the one legit reason, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Back on context, because that speaks for itself. You're guilty. Well, some people are. A lot of people are. I am.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I believe in God the Father.
Hi friends, Paul Esposito here from 91.5 FM WMIE and WWBC Radio. We are pleased to announce that our brand new apps have been released and are now available in the App Store for you to download. So search for WMIE as well as WWBC, and you can hear the awesome programming on these stations 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There also is a lot of programs available on demand. Some of the local programming here you now can hear on demand from your phone or tablet. So I encourage you, download these apps, WMIE, and WWBC.